This is the best of JB for breakfast.
Only on 92.9.
You've had some amazing jobs over your life, Amelia. Some very random jobs.
Yeah.
As well. Like you've been.
You could say that, yeah.
You've been flight attendant.
Yep.
Dancer.
Yep.
Cheerleader.
Yep.
Pilates instructor.
Yep.
Radio goddess.
Okay. Thank you. Can we put that on my work email signature, please? Can
sure.
I put that on my LinkedIn?
Sure. That's all right.
All right. Cool. Thank you.
This one you'd be very interested in if you weren't, you know, chained to the radio desk here, being the radio goddess.
Yeah, the old ball and chain.
The Antarctic Heritage Trust is looking for 3 new staff to run its penguin post office in Antarctica.
Oh, I was going to say, I've seen this. Yeah.
Oh, so you've been looking for work while you're at work?
No, I've seen an article on it.
The world's nice cover. The world's southernmost post office. It processes, this is unbelievable, 80,000 letters a year they process.
Yeah.
Because of cruise ships.
Yeah.
Do you work on a cruise ship as well in your...
No, but I would.
Random jobs? Okay, no. So not only do you get to sort the mail out, but you also get to care for the 1,500 penguins down there as well.
Oh my god!
You got to feed them a bit of fish, that sort of stuff.
A little bit of cuddle, a little bit of tap dancing, so maybe.
a bit of tap dancing.
Put on a little show once a week
for them. They can join in.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't muddle them up. Don't sort out the fish and then feed the letters to the penguins. Okay. Make sure you do it the right way around there.
Risky, high risk.
That's a cool job.
Yeah, I'd do that.
It's got your name written all over it, but unfortunately, you're here. And you got the 9 at 9 to do very shortly as well.
Oh,
just saying.
Fine.
Sorry, back to reality.
Is it penguin themed?
No. Good
imagine.
Luck.
Imagine if it was.
That'd be the 1 at 1 with Ames.
Just like the Happy Feet theme song.
Yeah, no. Can't think of too many penguin tracks, hey.
Here's some of the, well, slightly better bits from JB during the week. This is the best of JB for breakfast.
Only on 92.9.
In international news this one, because I know you love that.
Oh.
You know the band Chumbawamba?
Yes.
They had the one hit in the late 90s, Tub Thumpin', which was like a big song, you know?
Yeah.
I get knocked down I get up again, and then get me down. I get knocked that one.
Yeah, so we really know the words to that one. But yep, anyway.
Big hit. Too bad they couldn't follow it up with much else.
Oh, so okay, the roasting this morning. Gosh.
It's used at a lot of sporting events and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then for some weird reason, the Deputy Prime Minister in New Zealand has been using that song at some of their political rallies. So, you know, before, you know, there's an empty lectern there on the stage, a couple of lights shining on it, and then in the background, I get knocked down, I get up again.
All right, okay.
And then he wanders on, you know.
Yeah, nice. All right.
And the band Chumbawamba, which, fun fact for you to share around the water cooler today, they broke up only 10 years ago.
Oh.
I know, you think 25 years ago after their one hit, but no, they broke up
only
10 years ago. What they did in that, the between time between Chumbawamba and breaking up, Tub Thumpin' and breaking up, I don't know what they did, but anyway.
Yeah, well, okay, so they really tried.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
They're not happy with this.
Because they couldn't get another good song, or?
No, they don't like their song being tarnished politically, you see.
Oh.
So, they've written a cease and desist letter
to
the Deputy Prime Minister.
No way.
Yeah.
That is so dramatic. What did it say?
They've basically written to him saying that the band's lead singer, Boff Whaley, has said, Chumbawamba wrote the song Tub Thumpin' as a song of hope and positivity, so it seems entirely odd that the I Get Knocked Down refrain is being used by the New Zealand Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters as he barks his divisive, small-minded, bigoted policies during his recent speeches. You know what I mean? I put that in.
Sorry. What accent is that? What is that meant to be? What are you trying to do right now?
Northerner. Chumbawamba would like to make it clear that we did not give permission for Peters to use the song. I would ask him to stop using it to try and shore up his misguided political views. You know what I mean? Again, added that in for effect. Chumbawamba doesn't share any of his ideas on race relations. and like to remind him that the song was written for and about ordinary people and their resilience. And we've asked our record company, Sony, to issue a cease and desist notice. How about it, eh? I added that end bit on for effect again. So there you go.
Really, that's really nice. You really set the scene there.
I thought so.
That just seems stupid to me. Would you agree?
Peters has defended it, saying he's not using it for any benefit financially.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he said that he's never got the cease or desist letter.
Oh!
They never got it, that whole
oh,
one.
Oh, hey? Snap.
Got lost in the mail.
Yeah, slam dunk.
So,
wow, okay. Well, how embarrassing for them. Really.
Very embarrassing.
Not as embarrassing as your accent, but...
Oh, I thought it was okay.
Is that the whole reason you ran with this story? So you'd have an excuse to do the accent?
Well, I mean, sometimes you get knocked down, but, you know, I
do you
get up again.
Do
you know what I mean?
Here's some of the, well, slightly better bits from JB during the week. This is the best of JB for breakfast.
Only on 92.9.
Apparently, we should all be eating more snake. I know I had the same look on my face as well. Apparently, for sustainability reasons, we should seriously look at putting snake on the menu. Dr. Daniel Noashish would know. He's apparently eaten python in almost every way imaginable. I wonder if he gets all the girls by saying that to him. Dr. Daniel said he's had it barbecued. He's had it on satay skewers. Be a long skewer stick, wouldn't it? He's had it in curries. He's even done it jerkied. Okay. Right, you might have finally got me, Dr. Daniel. And at risk of sounding like a cliche, apparently snake tastes like chicken. He honestly thinks that we should commercially farm python meat for sustainability problems. A paper co-authored by the researchers found the commercial farming of these reptiles could offer a sustainable alternative to conventional livestock in places like southern Africa amid the challenges of food security and also climate change. He said stock will be hatched from eggs laid at farms, not wild caught, and the candidate species, including the Burmese python, reticulated python, and the southern African rock python, would be some of the options. These pythons can live for almost a month with no water. They can live off the water that sets on their scales in the morning, and they can go for almost a year without eating. We're not necessarily saying everyone would stop eating beef and turn to python, but there needs to be a conversation about them having a more prominent place within the agricultural mix. His research found that they could also be an efficient protein source other than livestock, poultry, or salmon. And they also produce fewer greenhouse gases, are more resilient to extreme climatic conditions, and they also don't transmit diseases like bird flu or COVID-19. He runs a crocodile farm up in North Queensland, where he also farms crocodile meat, which of course has taken off a lot as well. Look, each to their own. I think I'll pass on it, but thank you very much for the opportunity. And I'd love to know on our Facebook page, or give me a call, 676-2299. I'll put you in the draw for our K's Friday meat tray, $50 worth of meat up for grabs. Thanks to guys at K's. What's the strangest food that you have ever eaten? And look, maybe you've even tried snake. If you have, I'm all ears. 676-2299. The strangest food you've ever tasted. Love to know. 676-2299. I'm surprised a guy said that python tastes like chicken. I thought it would taste like eel.
Here's some of the, well, slightly better bits from JB during
this
the
is
week.
The best of JB for breakfast.
Only on 92.9.
Good morning, Ames and Mills. Good morning.
The girls are back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dream team.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Apparently, we need to eat more snake. Dr. Dan Nitschke, who's apparently a sustainability expert, he said for sustainability reasons, including climate change, that it's wise that we eat more python.
What? Okay, look, I wish we had a webcam because the look Meals and I just gave each other was gold.
Apparently, they're easy to grow, easy to breed.
They taste like chicken?
They do. Dr. Dan backed that up.
Oh, do they actually?
Require less water, produce fewer greenhouse gases, more resilient to extreme climatic conditions, and also don't transmit diseases like bird flu or COVID-19. He said it does. Sorry to sound like a cliche, but it does taste like chicken. Dr. Daniel has had snake barbecued. He's had it on skewers. Must be long skewers.
It didn't look like a snake.
I'm sure he
chopped up in like a salad or something. Snake salad.
He's had it in a curry. He's had it as jerky.
If it tastes like chicken, I'm actually not as mad about it now. Yeah. At first, I was like, "What?" And I was picturing like the skewer, like chip on a stick, like it's just wrapped around, whole way down. But no, if I'd eat it. Yeah, but if it tastes like chicken, I'm like, do you know,
and
what?
It doesn't look
like
a snake. That easy.
I imagine the skin would be like salmon.
Just like peel it off.
Like the scale.
Yeah.
Like Bear Grylls style. He used to eat snakes, didn't he? I haven't seen a Man vs. Wild.
Well, probably.
Crispy skin python on the menus somewhere in the next 20 years or so.
Or they'll do crackling like they do for the snake crackling.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
You just put a big python down in the middle of the table as like a centipede. You know, like a turkey?
Yeah.
It's just like big Burmese python.
They're probably endangered.
Done.
It's probably not one of those.
Well,
that one specifically.
He said that he would. So these would be commercially farmed. So we're not talking wild ones.
Yeah.
The stock would be hatched from eggs laid at farm, not wild caught. And candidate species include Burmese python, reticulated python, and also the Southern African rock python.
Oh, okay.
Weirdest thing you've ever ate?
You said you got one, Meals.
Me? Oh,
go.
I thought you were asking the people. Me.
Oh, look, please. 676 2299 for $50
at
K's.
The phones are working now.
Yeah. They are, yes.
Yeah. Look, don't worry, I can talk.
Oh, God.
So, as we know, I've travelled.
Yes.
And I've been to Cambodia.
Oh.
And Cambodia has a town called Tarantula Village.
Oh.
You've done
and it. And it's exactly what you think it is.
Yep.
Like, you step out of the... Well, I was in a bus. So you step out of the bus, they're all over the ground. They're all over the walls. They're literally everywhere. It's almost like everything's moving slightly because there's that many of them.
Oh.
And yeah, and so they cook and they eat tarantulas there.
Okay.
And I have.
Crunchy?
Yes.
Crispy?
Well, crispy and crunchy is
hairy.
Quite similar. Yes, hairy.
Hairy?
Yeah, but you kind of got to take like the shell off. It's kind of like eating a crab.
And tastes like chicken.
No, it does not. Because it's really influenced by the smell, and the smell is not ideal. Well, it's
unique. I'd be fine then.
Yeah, you'd be fine. You'd like it. It would be like eating crab.
Yeah. I've got no sense of smell for those that don't know.
Yeah.
Tastes like...
I unfortunately do.
Tastes like crab?
Well, no, because the smell is not like crab, and so it's very much like how... I don't even know how to describe the smell. It's weird.
It's indescribable. Do you have a sauce with it? Is it like tarantula and orange sauce or something like that?
They didn't serve
tarantula
a
la orange or something?
They didn't serve it with a sauce.
No,
they literally just... They like pick them up off the ground and just chuck them on a grill and then give them to you. Like, it's not fancy. It's like a little tiny village in the middle of nowhere. So, yeah, you just got to experience it for yourself is all I'm going to say.
You got any weird?
I don't
weird
think
dishes?
I can beat that.
No, I don't. Look, I'm out. I'm boring. I had deep fried Mars bar.
I've had escargot.
Yeah, I had that.
And I've had haggis and like blood sausage and all that kind of thing.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, black sausage. That's what it is. But I can't beat that.
No.
Yeah,
that's right. 676-2299. Try and beat me.
Yeah, beat Meals.
Terry on our Facebook page, please. I'm waiting to hear from you because he's tried rattlesnake. So
he's
the closest person to someone who's actually had the python that Dr. Dan's talking about.
Yep, that's what we want.
So, I've had crocodile too.
Yeah, I
had that. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, up in the NT.
Chicken of the sea, I think they call it. I'm pretty sure, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And I think tarantula's chicken of the walls, I'm pretty sure as well.
Here's some of the, slightly better bits from JB.
This is
the
best of JB for breakfast.
Only on 92.9.
Nelly Furtado at Tamworth's number one, 92.9, and JB for breakfast for Country Auto's quality used cars and service centre on Gunninganoo Road, 743.
It's time for JB to share a cafe coffee with someone, chatting about what's going on locally, nationally or internationally.
or something a little different. It's the McCafe Coffee Break.
Married at First Sight back on Channel 9 and now 9 Now this evening. And Eden from Maths joins me this morning for a chat. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No, my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me for a bit of a chat. It is Homestays Week. I mean, that I reckon out of all the stuff you have to do on Maths, I reckon Homestay Week would be the most nerve-wracking and anxiety-inducing out of all of it. Do you think?
Well, I actually was the most excited for Homestays. I was missing my dog so much, so I was just so excited to get back home and then he was going to be able to stay with us, and I just thought we'd have the best time.
Look, I like that. That's obviously the difference between how our minds work. You're looking at the positives. And I'm obviously the glass half empty type of dude. you and Jaden, you've had an amazing run on Maths pretty much the whole way through. However, the wheels did start kind of falling off a little bit this week. Yeah, is that fair enough to say?
Definitely. I think we were definitely in a bit of a love bubble for the first probably 6 or 7 weeks, and we didn't argue at all. There was no problems whatsoever. And then I think once all of the kind of arguments with the other couples started coming in, the wheels started to fall off pretty quickly.
You did end up seeing Jaden as part of Homestay Week, but you arrived on a separate flight from him. Did it cross your mind at all that, you know what, I'm ghosting him, I'm not going?
No, it didn't. But to be honest, that was wild to me because in the morning I went out to the shops in the city to try and get some things. He knew exactly where I was and what I was doing, and I was keeping him up to date the entire time. And then I got stuck in traffic on the way back and the way to the airport, so that's why I missed the flight. And he knew where I was and he knew I'd booked the next flight. So I'm not sure why he was saying I haven't heard from her, because we were texting the whole time.
And let me guess, you didn't know that till you watched it on TV?
That was the first time I've saw that. I was watching it thinking, what on earth? And I went back and read through the text messages and I got the call that it's me updating him, telling him where I am and what I'm doing and apologising. Crazy.
And watching it back, I love asking this question, watching it back, how your thoughts on other couples' homestays? Do you enjoy watching what the other couples go through as well? I'm sure there's a lot that you pick up on that you don't hear about at the dinner parties and stuff like that.
Exactly, and I think that's the thing that people forget. A lot of people's backstories, like the things that have happened to them in the past, like a lot of the stuff with Timothy, we didn't even know that about Timothy because he never brought it up in front of the whole group. So I know that there was a comment Jaden made at the retreat about his biggest fear was losing his family, and a lot of people were thinking that was insensitive of him to say in front of Tim, but we didn't even know that Tim had lost his parents.
Yeah.
So watching it back is where you really learn all this stuff about the couples. And Cassandra's backstory, I was bawling my eyes out watching that because I had no idea. So, yeah, it's really interesting to see all the couples behind closed doors and what goes on, because there's only so much they can tell you when you see them for only a couple of hours a week.
Of course. Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, we are getting closer to the big wedding day. Look, whether you do say I do or not, I'm going to give you a couple of different wedding options.
Yes.
Let me know what one takes your fancy, what one floats your boat. So,
okay.
Big wedding or small wedding?
Big. Like,
oh, big. Okay, how big? Are we talking like 100 plus?
Yeah.
200
plus? We've
got to
get all my family and friends there.
Everyone. All right. Finger food or sit-down food?
Finger food.
Finger food.
You want a more relaxed feel. We don't want to like formal event.
Well, especially if you go on the big wedding. I mean, I don't think there's a table big enough to suit the amount of family and friends you've got coming along.
Totally, exactly. Finger food, everyone's like mingling and standing up and chatting. That's definitely the way to go.
Traditional wedding tuxedo for the guy or something just a bit more cash?
More cash, definitely.
Dress it down.
I'm a beach girl, so I'd love a beach wedding.
That's it. Okay. All right. There we go. With the rolled up pants and the sandals? You cool with that for the beach wedding?
I think I'd go barefoot.
Barefoot. Okay. Cool. Real cash.
Yeah, barefoot. Like both of our hairs down, falling in the wind. You know how it is.
kids allowed or no kids?
Nah, no kids.
No kids. Kids axed.
No kids at all.
No. Done. And
I'll give you a bit of goss there, though.
Oh,
Jaden
yeah.
actually wants 5 children.
Oh, Jaden wants 5 kids.
I was like 1 or 2 max. That was actually something we argued about quite a lot.
Oh, okay. And how did you work that out? Did you go, look, we'll have one, maximum two, see how we go?
Yeah, I think we compromised on two.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a good compromise.
Yeah, totally.
And finally, what about, I mean, you've discussed kids with Jaden. His hair, has that come up in discussion yet?
It has, but you know what? I actually love long hair on guys.
Oh, okay.
One of my favourite things. And I think a lot of people are expecting me to be like, oh, I don't really like it. I love it. I do prefer when he wears it up, definitely. But, yeah, I do love the long hair. And he's got such beautiful hair too. I'm like, I've never been with a guy that has nicer hair than me.
It's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm like, how rude. I was like, I spend so much time on this hair.
My partner is envious of my skin. Apparently, I have perfect skin.
Oh, jealous.
And yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, you know, sorry, we can't all be perfect. Hey,
yeah, boys always have the good eyelashes, the yes. hair, the skin, all of it.
It's very true. That's right. Hey, Eden, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really great to chat, and we'll talk again soon. All the best.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Eden there from Married at First Sight, back on Channel 9 and 9 now this evening, 7:46. 7:49, the clock's upside down. 7:49 at 92.9.
Here's some of the world's slightly better bits from JB during the week. This is the best of JB for breakfast.
Only on 92.9.
Tamworth's number one, 92.9. And JB here for Country Auto's Quality Used Cars and Service Centre on Gunaganoo Road. Apparently, we've got a brand new Bond, of course, one of the most coveted acting roles in Hollywood and in the world, has apparently been offered to British actor Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Insiders say Taylor-Johnson, known for his roles in Kick-Ass and Avengers Age of Ultron, is expected to sign the contract to appear as 007 as soon as this week. A source told Britain's Sun newspaper, Bond is Aaron's job. Should he wish to accept it, the formal offer is on the table and they are waiting to hear back. The development is likely to be unsurprising to many movie fans, with his name being regularly in the mix amid speculation about who will take over the iconic role from Daniel Craig. There's been many big names touted as being the next Bond, James Bond, over the years. Australian mega actor Mel Gibson auditioned for the role of Bond in 1985. Movie studio MGM said he nailed the part and should be the only option. However, longtime Bond producer Barbara Broccoli said no because, well, he wasn't British. Meanwhile, just down the corridor in front of another casting agent was Kiwi actor Sam Neill giving it a crack. I guess he missed out on the part of Bond because he wasn't British either. But no, he just did a crap job at the audition. In the end, actor Timothy Dalton got the role of Bond and would star as him in two films. After James Bond was briefly put on pause in 1989 and Timothy Dalton casually stepped away, producers put out feelers for who it should be next, and they came across the actor who plays a guy dying better than anyone else, Sean Bean. In the end, producers chose Pierce Brosnan, but they were so impressed by the ruthlessness of Sean that they gave him the part of the villain in GoldenEye, where, guess what? Spoiler alert, he died. Funny that. When Bronson stepped down in 2002 after the Madonna Bond film Die Another Day, a young Henry Cavill landed on the producer's desk. He missed out on the gig as he was, well, too young. Funny that. Australian Sam Worthington also got a look in, but, well, he was Australian. The producers obviously really holding a grudge after the one-time Australian James Bond, George Lazenby. Fair enough. Clive Owen was also considered for the gig, but he was going to charge too much. So, in the end, Daniel Craig ended up getting the gig. Some other big names touted over the years included Burt Reynolds, Adam West, who played TV's Batman, and also Clint Eastwood, but they all knocked the part back, saying that it had to be played by Brit. Funny that. And even British pop star Robbie Williams was once touted as playing James Bond, taking over when Pierce Brosnan retired. However, he declined it, saying acting isn't his thing and instead played James Bond in the video clip for Millennium. And if you've watched that, it's probably good he didn't get the job playing James Bond full time.
Here's some of the, well, slightly better bits from JB during the week.